1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Another round of tariff warning letters sent out today to U.S. trade partners.
President Trump posted on social media letters he sent to the leaders of Algeria, Brunei, Iraq, Libya, Moldova, and the Philippines, informing them of the tariff rates that will go into effect on August 1st for goods imported from those countries into the U.S. The president extended his pause on tariffs. They were set to go into effect today, but now that new deadline is August 1st, as the administration continues talks with trade partners. The president said Tuesday he considers negotiations to be too time-consuming at this point.
ABC's Karen Travers. In Texas, at least 118 are dead following Friday's flash floods in Texas Hill Country. More than 170 others still missing, the majority in hard-hit Kerr County. And in New Mexico, a separate storm last night blamed for at least three deaths due to flooding. Ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino today announcing she's leaving the social media platform after 2 years. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Officials in two counties are investigating after two people were found dead in Dane County and a third person died after a standoff with law enforcement in Vernon County Tuesday afternoon. A man was sought by the Dane County Sheriff's Office after a man and woman were found dead at a home in the town of Middleton. The suspect fled west on Highway 14 and was later found south of Viroqua, where he took his own life after a standoff, according to Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson. Highway 14 was closed in Vernon County for over 3 hours. For the third straight year, the Universities of Wisconsin system is looking to increase tuition rates for its four-year campuses. UW schools will raise tuition by 5%, except for Green Bay going up by 4% and River Falls adding 5.8%. The announcement comes after the state's biennial budget provided $256 million in additional funding to UW. After a 10-year freeze on tuition increases, the UW system raised tuition by 5% in 2023 and 3.75% in 2024. The Board of Regents will vote on the tuition increases on Thursday. While the UW system is considering increasing tuition by 5% at all of its campuses this week, a school in Iowa is taking a different approach to attracting undergraduates. The University of Northern Iowa, which is located about 2.5 hours southwest of La Crosse, is offering its in-state tuition rate to any incoming students from Iowa's bordering states, including Wisconsin. The undergraduate tuition rate for this fall at UNI is $10,201, which is $159 cheaper than the proposed increased tuition rate for UW-La Crosse this fall. We'll have a break from the rain for a couple of days before showers and storms return at the end of the week. Today will be sunny with highs in the low to mid-80s across the Coulee region. Wednesday will be sunny and warm with highs in the mid-80s around La Crosse. Thursday night into Friday, chances of rain showers and storms increase, with the potential for an inch or two of rain on Friday. Then we'll see a gradual warm-up into early next week, where highs will be around 90 degrees. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A win for the Miz and McGill. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers wrap up their series this afternoon in Milwaukee. Last night, the Miz, rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, followed by Jared Koenig, Abner Uribe, and closer Trevor McGill, held the struggling Dodgers to just one run in a 3-1 win over LA last night. It was enough to leave the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw at a loss for words.
I mean, the three guys that came out of the pen for them, plus him, I mean, I don't think we saw a fastball under 98 today as a team. I mean, this was just a tough game.
The Dodgers have now lost 5 in a row. The Brewers' Mizorowski gave up a solo home run to LA's leadoff batter, Shohei Ohtani, then proceeded to strike out 12 Dodger batters over 6 innings to beat the 3-time Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw. I spoke to the Miz after the game.
You know, I saw something on online that he didn't know who I was, so I hope that he knows me now, you know. It's kind of cool.
That's Brewers pitcher Jacob Mizorowski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dry and sunny today, with calm winds and comfortable conditions, with highs in the low 80s. And it won't be too humid either. That holds off until tomorrow, becoming more muggy, partly sunny. Highs will make it to the mid-80s. Then a chance of some storms tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Supreme Court says the Trump administration can fire as many federal workers as it wants. Jim Santel will join us to talk about that. Plus, Brittany Merlot and Weather and Wine.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matinair on air.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thursday's La Crosse Common Council meeting will have several agenda items, starting with action on multiple property developments that seek to add housing units and commercial space to the city. Other council agenda items include modifying the La Crosse Regional Airport's operating budget to handle a pair of capital projects, funding to repair the roof of the La Crosse Center, setting aside legal funds for the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition, and approving a plat for a subdivision south of the highways 14, 35, 61 roundabout. The latest community to add a wheel tax is Onalaska. The Common Council approved a 3-year wheel tax for $25 each year per vehicle kept in the city. The measure passed with a 4-2 vote, and the funds from the wheel tax are tapped for traffic infrastructure. Onalaska city officials said that they are facing a $300,000 shortfall and considered closing facilities such as the Aquatic Center or library, or adding a different tax to cover it. The wheel tax will begin on November 1st of this year and run through October 31st, 2028. Federal courts will pursue charges against a Milwaukee County judge accused of helping a man avoid immigration officials. With more, here's Civic Media's Charlie Pittman.
A federal magistrate judge is recommending that criminal charges against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan move forward. Dugan's accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid ICE agents. She faces two federal charges: knowingly concealing a person wanted on a federal arrest and obstructing a Department of Homeland Security removal proceeding. Dugan says she's not guilty. She says she was acting in a role as a judge and has immunity for her actions as a judge, saying that the prosecution violates separation of powers. But in a recommendation yesterday, Magistrate Judge Nancy Joseph wrote that a judge's official duties don't shield them from criminal law and denied a motion to dismiss charges against Dugan. The case heads back to U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman.
A scheduling hearing for Dugan, who has pleaded not guilty, is set for Wednesday. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Now doesn't allow you to be the same bully where you just say the thing and it is the only thing heard. In the social media age, you say something and other people get to talk too. They get to use their favorite social media device, platform, to post their own thought. And so if you say something that is ridiculously controversial, that is beyond the pale, that hasn't been heard before, hasn't been said before, if you put alligators in a pit, people got to talk about it. So we're going to bomb somebody. Oh, he's going to bomb somebody. President's going to better talk about it. Nah. I'm not saying the president's words don't matter. President's words matter a lot. But I want to make sure that we at least, what I try to do, every time he does something crazy, take a breath, look around, see what else is going on. Because every single time he does it, and I don't mean occasionally watch out for. No, folks. I mean every single time. Every single time he does the crazy thing, when he says, they're eating the cats. Oh, they're eating the cats. We better talk about eating the cats. Better talk about some. Haven't heard about them before. I guess people stopped eating cats. Every single time. It's because if you take a breath and look around, there is something else going on. And what was going on then? What was going on then was Project 2025 was on people's minds, and a supermajority of Americans were against it. Their actual platform for what they were going to do to this country, how they were going to tear down America, was starting to find purchase, starting to get traction. People were understanding what it was, and they didn't like it. Bipartisan majority didn't like it. And so he yells, they're eating the cats. They stop talking about it. Everybody stopped talking about it because everybody had to start using as their subject line for their podcast, are they eating the cats? Because they thought they were so clever. After they're not really eating cats. Okay, so we have an argument about whether they are or not eating cats. That was not the most important argument. It was not in the top 30. But it was masterful at garnering attention. So right now he says, oh, we're going to bomb. We're going to put alligators in a pit. And so we're going to talk about alligators. Let's talk about, we're going to name the Gulf of Mexico. I can be patriotic because I call it the Gulf of America. The point is not Gulf of America versus Gulf of Mexico. The point is, what is the definition of patriotism? Is it that you misappropriate the names of things to call things different things? Or is it because you fight to make the country stronger? Is it you fight to make Americans better off versus tearing it down? So he tears it down and then makes a show of calling something something. He talks about bombing something all of a sudden. And this time, what does he want to take attention away from? Because he knows. He knows one of two things is true on the Epstein stuff. One of two things is true. I will talk about both of those things after the break. Because he's got to pivot attention. And I want us to pick some of the fights. I want us to pick some of the topics. Focus a little more about what is important. What we need to do and what's wrong and what could be better. Rather than just clickbait for its own sake. Attention as its own currency to buy more of the same. A political movement built on not much more than the ability to garner attention and to other people. And to make that such a great controversy that focuses more and more attention, feeds on itself like a snake eating its tail. Democracy is about solving problems, not just winning fights, not just picking fights, but solving problems. And usually it takes more than a majority of people to agree to really solve one. So we've got to pick the fights and have those fights be around solving problems. Take a breath, look around, what else is going on? We'll talk about that right after this. Bless your calls.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. Your calls right after this.
You trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorant for whole-body odor control. It's safe for your pits, packages, and feet. Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. This stuff really works. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. Use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. And if it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better, longer, with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thursday's La Crosse Common Council meeting will have several agenda items, starting with action on multiple property developments that seek to add housing units and commercial space to the city. Other council agenda items include modifying the La Crosse Regional Airport's operating budget to handle a pair of capital projects, funding to repair the roof of the La Crosse Center, setting aside legal funds for the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition, and approving a plat for a subdivision south of the Highways 14, 35, 61 roundabout. The latest community to add a wheel tax is Onalaska. The Common Council approved a three-year wheel tax for $25 each year per vehicle kept in the city. The measure passed with a 4-2 vote, and the funds from the wheel tax are tapped for traffic infrastructure. Onalaska city officials said that they are facing a $300,000 shortfall and considered closing facilities such as the Aquatic Center or Library, or adding a different tax to cover it. The wheel tax will begin on November 1st of this year and run through October 31st, 2028. Federal courts will pursue charges against a Milwaukee County judge accused of helping a man avoid immigration officials. With more, here's Civic Media's Charlie Pittman.
A federal magistrate judge is recommending that criminal charges against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan move forward. Dugan's accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid ICE agents. She faces two federal charges, knowingly concealing a person wanted on a federal arrest and obstructing a Department of Homeland Security removal proceeding. Dugan says she's not guilty. She says she was acting in a role as a judge and has immunity for her actions as a judge, saying that the prosecution violates separation of powers. But in a recommendation yesterday, Magistrate Judge Nancy Joseph wrote that a judge's official duties don't shield them from criminal law and denied a motion to dismiss charges against Dugan. Case heads back to U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman.
A scheduling hearing for Dugan, who has pleaded not guilty, is set for Wednesday. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov.
That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Shayna Broussard became the chair of the Federal Election Commission July 1st. Problem is, her bipartisan commission, hapless in the best of times, will still be paralyzed. The agency is supposed to have six members, but has only three, so no enforcement can take place. Broussard, a Democrat, was nominated by President Donald Trump in his first term and confirmed by the Senate in December 2020. Broussard served as a counsel in the FEC beginning in 2008. Broussard takes the reins of an agency unable to do its job. Resignations of commissioners in January and April and Trump's firing of Chair Ellen Weintraub in February left only three members and no quorum to enforce election and campaign finance rules. The commission frequently deadlocks along its three Democrat and three Republican party lines. Only in egregious cases of corruption, such as Congressman George Santos, is a bipartisan recommendation for prosecution typically made. The FEC can continue to require campaign finance reporting, receive complaints, investigate, and make recommendations. It just can't enforce anything. Why, you may ask, has a Democrat become chair of the Trump administration's FEC? Because it's unlikely Trump will nominate an additional three members, keeping the FEC powerless to referee the upcoming midterms. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Every time I do a stint is that America's a redemption story. The virtue is not in the place we landed, but in the place we're trying to continue to go. And that right now we're losing on that idea. We're going backwards. A couple of things that Nancy, our listener, said that I agree with really, really strongly. One, we need to rethink voting processes, not pretending that there are only two shades to viewpoints in this country. And thinking about how we build voting systems, and it's a big reason, like, if I could wave one realistic magic wand, it would be sortition, it would be citizen assemblies, it would be citizen juries, it would be people selected to solve problems, not merely based on their ability to raise money and win votes. Jury processes for more public decisions. To take some of the politics, never take all of it, and I wouldn't want to take all of it, but never take all of it, but take some of the politics out of democracy. So heck yes, change systems, and not just operate on the same operating system that I agree has deep flaws. Two, tied for first for me is what we do about the money in politics. I do have a quibble. I don't like the phrase, get the money out of politics. Not only because I don't think it's realistic, I also don't think it's what we mean. If we mean get the, if what we mean is, and this is me being semantic also, it's a little bit like quibbling with the phrase saving democracy. Well, I never had a democracy. That's true. I still want to save the idea. I still want to fight for democracy. I don't want to fight for democracy less because we haven't had it. It makes me want to fight for it more. But I have a quibble about get money out of politics is that I don't think it's what we mean. I don't think it's exactly accurate. First of all, we can't, because money will find a way somewhere. If we limit contributions, there somebody will just buy themselves a TV news network. Oh, wait, that's what Rupert Murdoch did. But that's not a cop-out, to be clear. The most recent thing I have worked on was passing campaign finance limits in my own city and helping it get passed in my own state. And there's now a bipartisan majority that's blocking its implementation and frustrating me, including participation within that in my own political party. But thankfully, leaders within my political party has not been united around it, but is hopefully getting pretty darn modest limits passed. We work for something a little more aggressive. And worked hard on publicly financed elections in my city. It is hard to find a more avid champion for campaign finance reform than the person wearing my pants today. He's not out there wearing my pants. It's me. I'm wearing my pants today. And I still, or maybe because of that, I don't love the phrase "get the money out of politics." And I'm stealing this from my dad. You guys heard from him yesterday. And he used to say that, and he used to kind of bug me. But now I realize, as I so often do. Oh, geez. After all my disagreeing with my dad, he's so often right. He said, no, it's not getting money out of politics. He says, think about how much money it takes to deliver a message. Think how much money it takes, let's say, to get somebody to buy a can of Coca-Cola. How much money is spent to sell Coca-Cola? It's millions and millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. And that is for something that you can get any time of day, any time of year, almost any place, and it gives you a little sweet taste in your lips. And they spend inordinate amounts of money to communicate that to people. What will it take? What does it take to communicate to everybody in the country that they need to do a very specific thing in a very specific way, in a very specific place, at a very specific time that doesn't give them the same sweet taste in their lips? It's going to take resource to do that. The question is, from whom and for what? Is it money from oligarchs to promote an agenda that is best for the few? Or is it resource from the many to build policy and a world that's a little bit better for the many? It is a medium-length argument in favor of matching systems, in favor of democracy dollars, in favor of a 6-to-1 or a 9-to-1 money match, in favor of publicly financed systems that encourage people to go out there and raise contributions $50 at a time. Or like Carter Commission stuff in the first iteration of the Carter Commission when he said, let's go out, let's have publicly available airwaves for ads. We can limit the amount of time for campaigns and make sure there are publicly financed ways to do that. Let's put election day as a holiday so people can get to it. Let's have voting system reform. Let's also have more polling places. And in fact, let's have secure vote by mail with a paper record. So I agree with all of that stuff pretty strongly. I'm just quibble a little bit with the phrase, get the money out of politics. So I agree with all of that stuff. More to say, but that could be its own show. And we're going to be right back after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Appreciating people today. People are saying smart stuff today. 202-808-9925. We'll be back. We do have this little Epstein package to play after break.
With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. You know, we look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle, and we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal, they would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth, and that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, and not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. Consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of collagen, is one of the easiest things you can do that makes the most difference in your health.
It's remarkable stuff. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today at getnativepath.com/
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with PK and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at LP, joins us to discuss national and state issues and a what's worse on pizza.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Thursday's La Crosse Common Council meeting will have several agenda items, starting with action on multiple property developments that seek to add housing units and commercial space to the city. Other council agenda items include modifying the La Crosse Regional Airport's operating budget to handle a pair of capital projects, funding to repair the roof of the La Crosse Center, setting aside legal funds for the Town of Campbell's incorporation petition, and approving a plat for a subdivision south of the Highways 14, 35, 61 roundabout. The latest community to add a wheel tax is Onalaska. The Common Council approved a 3-year wheel tax for $25 each year per vehicle kept in the city. The measure passed with a 4-2 vote, and the funds from the wheel tax are tapped for traffic infrastructure. Onalaska city officials said that they are facing a $300,000 shortfall and considered closing facilities such as the Aquatic Center or library, or adding a different tax to cover it. The wheel tax will begin on November 1st of this year and run through October 31st, 2028. Federal courts will pursue charges against a Milwaukee County judge accused of helping a man avoid immigration officials. With more, here's Civic Media's Charlie Pittman.
A federal magistrate judge is recommending that criminal charges against Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan move forward. Dugan's accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid ICE agents. She faces 2 federal charges: knowingly concealing a person wanted on a federal arrest and obstructing a Department of Homeland Security removal proceeding. Dugan says she's not guilty. She says she was acting in a role as a judge and has immunity for her actions as a judge, saying that the prosecution violates separation of powers. But in a recommendation yesterday, Magistrate Judge Nancy Joseph wrote that a judge's official duties don't shield them from criminal law, and denied a motion to dismiss charges against Dugan. Case heads back to U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman.
A scheduling hearing for Dugan, who has pleaded not guilty, is set for Wednesday. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dry and sunny today, with calm winds and comfortable conditions with highs in the low 80s. And it won't be too humid either. That holds off until tomorrow, becoming more muggy, partly sunny. Highs will make it to the mid-80s. Then a chance of some storms tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control, as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals, he wants the lords, he wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Sandra Goldschein of the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy about the real harm that's going to be done to families under this new federal budget.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
So much for all of your support. Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. Back. And so are you, and thanks for being here, and thanks for joining this show. The call number is 202-808-9925. We'll have time for a few more calls and for the big finish. In just a moment, we're going to play a little package that the talented Nate put together. As we were prepping the show, we remarked about the change in posture, shall we say, about the current administration with respect to the Epstein scandal. I think it's becoming more of a scandal. Not because Epstein is committing more crimes. The man is dead. And he committed far too many and far too horrible a set of crimes. But because now, the reason it's getting worse is because the Trump administration is trying very, very hard to make it go away. And the question is why? New York Times had theirs, and they gave a apt analysis, and I think it was importantly incomplete. Like it was incomplete in a really important way. They said, essentially their case was, well, it's harder once you're governing. It's easy to throw rocks at institutions and put as the leads of the FBI Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, whatever his name is, who's like, I think qualifications are having pretty good biceps and having been in the Secret Service and being a right-wing podcaster. I think these are what makes him qualified. And what made him really qualified is that he was willing to go over and over it again, say like, oh, we need to get to the bottom of this Epstein stuff. Bill Clinton and Bill Gates and don't say Trump and don't say Steve Bannon. By the way, Elon Musk just tweeted, was that just? It was just sent to me. I don't know if he just did it. That Steve Bannon is in the Epstein files. It was an interesting tweet by Elon Musk. By the way, if he's wrong, he could be sued for slander or libel, depending on the method by which it's communicated. I suspect both, because he's probably both said it out loud and written it down. And the qualifications of Cash Patel, I think, went no further than just being a Trump loyalist, and he didn't want somebody in charge of the FBI who was not a Trump loyalist. And Cash Patel also just beating up, we're going to get to the bottom of the Epstein stuff. We're going to get the bottom of it, find out who murdered him. We're going to look at that client list. We're going to share with everybody that client list so they know what's really going on. Because then we'll figure out, by looking at that client list, who done it. And they get asked, Pam Bondi, Attorney General, gets asked. Remember, it was supposed to be Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is supposed to be Attorney General. One of these other, people that beg description. That doesn't work, so they put in Pam Bondi, and she says, yeah, I got the client list on my desk. Didn't review it. And after she said, I'm going to review it, she said, oh, nothing to see here. They pass out the report. Everybody looks. What's the juicy stuff? Where's the juicy stuff? I got to the bottom of the back of the report, and no juicy stuff. No names, no client list. And New York Times, best news organization in the world, well, at least this country, I don't know everything in the world, says, aha, it's different. It's easier to throw rocks when you're outside the building. When you're inside the building, then you actually have to deal with that. And so then Cash Patel and Dan Bongino come out and say, well, it turns out, yeah, I just committed suicide. And the New York Times thing is, at some point you have to confront the truth. Yes. And that's an interesting, possible conclusion. But there are two other things New York Times didn't get into that made me really glad this show exists. One, and at least one of those two things are true. One, that they were pushing a falsehood.
They're pushing a false conspiracy for the purpose of building power. They were taking something that had a lot of social magnetism and tried to use it to paint bad pictures of their enemies with limited evidence. And they used untruth, mistruth, misinformation, fake news as a path to build power. That is one possibility. And if that's the case, they should be held to account. The New York Times shouldn't just say that's harder now, but they should be pressed on that they lied and engaged in misleading and harmful speculation for a long time. That's one possibility. The other possibility was not touched on at all. And that is maybe the reason they're not sharing the client list is there are people on the client list they want to protect. And that doesn't seem all that surprising. Now that Elon Musk is saying Steve Bannon was in it, we've seen partying pictures with women in the pictures of Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. They were buddies. It is just an object lesson in the state of the right-wing media, the bad-wing media, that they are able to generate. It's not a compliment, but it does demonstrate their power. They're able to generate this false conspiracy, or at least generate falsehoods around a possible conspiracy, build power around it, and somehow exclude their guy, when their guy is the guy that we got most receipts on. And then they say, I have nothing to see here. And Trump says, I have nothing to see here. Ah, move on. But it was like the most important thing they were talking about. We're going to get to the bottom of it. The other possibility is that, in fact, they said, we're reviewing it right now. And then they came back and said, oops, Mr. President, if we divulge the following information, the following people would be included in that information, and it's not really that easy to excise them and just redact them, because the redactions themselves would be very obvious. And that might include somebody in this room or somebody in this room knows and cares about. I'm not saying that happened. I'm just saying it seems to me at least one of the following two things is true. Either they promoted a false conspiracy for building power, and therefore there was nothing to see there, and they need to apologize for that, or they're not divulging it now because there's something to divulge they don't want to. Either way, they're on the wrong side. Nate made us something. I think he's ready to play it. Let's play it.
If you were president, would you declassify? You can answer yes or no to these. Would you declassify the 9/11 files?
Yeah.
Would you declassify JFK files?
Yeah. Would you, I did a lot of it.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
This week, that a source told me New York, SDNY, they're sitting on thousands of pages of documents regarding Epstein. Thousands, thousands.
The DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients? Will that really happen?
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing.
This systematic review revealed no incriminating client list. So what happened to the Epstein client list that the attorney general said she had on her desk?
Well, I think if you go back and look at what the attorney general said in that interview, which was on your network on Fox News. Go ahead.
John Roberts said, DOJ may be releasing the list of Jeffrey Epstein's clients. Will that really happen? And she said, it's sitting on my desk right now to review.
Yes, she was saying the entirety of all of the paperwork, all of the paper in relation to Jeffrey Epstein's crimes. That's what the attorney general was referring to, and I'll let her speak for that. But
prior to it was showing he committed suicide. And
well, the Epstein black book, like on day one.
On day one, roll out the black book.
Day one.
Where is it? So will you work with me on this issue so we know who worked with Jeffrey Epstein in building these sex trafficking rings?
Hang himself, or did somebody kill him?
Uh-oh. Senator, I believe he hung himself in a cell in the Metropolitan Detention Center.
Really?
Screech.
Are you going to release all the information about that?
Senator, we are working through that right now with the Department
of
Justice.
Oh, maybe someday. When do you think someday
you'll have it done, Cash? I think in the near future, sir.
Sometime,
near
future. Maybe. What a vague... Like before I die?
Senator, we are We've been working on that, and we're doing it in a way that protects victims, and also doesn't put out into the ether information that is
information
irrelevant.
Still talking about this guy, this creep. That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this where we...
Who would ever care about
if
the Epstein
thing? If you were president,
thing? Who would possibly think this was worth a lot of time and attention? I can't believe you're asking questions about Epstein. Ridiculous. Well, one who smelt it dealt it. The poor reporter. It's like, I was just listening to you for the last, like, several years. It was the most important thing we had to figure out. Either that was a lie, or you're all in a cover-up. It is worth knowing which one. And to my conservative listeners out there, I know you're still curious. Hold your party to account. If it ever mattered, it still matters.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
We'll be right back with your calls and the big, big finish.
I'm not into chasing trends, but I am all about stuff that fits right, feels good, and actually lasts. I've been shopping at Quince for some time now. In fact, my favorite sweater is an all-cotton and cashmere sweater that just is so comfortable. And it looks great. That's why I keep coming back to Quince. Their lightweight layers and high-quality staples have become my everyday essentials. That's what I love about Quince. They're working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middlemen. Quince gives you luxury pieces without the markups. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. So stick to the staples that last with elevated essentials from Quince. Go to quince.com/Tom for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Tom.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Turn up the summer vibes at Chula Vista Resort, your playground for summer dreams, water parks, and sun-soaked pools. Epic water slides, soaring zip lines, and world-class golf. Dine in the number one steakhouse in Wisconsin, Chula Vista Resort. Call 1-800-388-4782 or visit chulavistaresort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the top 10 indoor water parks in the USA, with 26 water slides over 1.5 miles long. Find out more at chulavistaresort.com.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out.
So where I agree with our last caller who dropped off, Zone Accord, where I agree is that we should be putting our energy where energy is best spent. And in so doing, I do think empathy is useful, even not just to be nice, even just to be persuasive. Let's do a quick speed round, try to get through this, see how well we can do it. Go ahead, Karen, you got 30 seconds or as best you can do.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the opposite of language.
Great.
And what Trump just did when Melissa Hartman had her funeral. He was golfing. He didn't say one word, and Biden showed up. So yep. That's a difference. That's othering in a very different way than speaking.
Yeah.
Very loud.
Yeah. No, he does. He uses silence because he understands when he uses words, they're for purpose of accomplishing an objective. That objective is attention. And he did not want attention there. So he denied his presence. It's a great point. Thank you so much. Stephen from Pueblo. Go ahead.
Hey, Epstein files, Donnie's damnation, Bill. All of these people who are enabling Trump, according to Buddha, who said that you will not be punished for your hate, but you'll be punished by your hate. Edgar Cayce, Buddha, the Gnostics, the Kybalion, all these people say that the soul will wander in darkness for lifetimes, experiencing the suffering and the misery that these people are visiting upon us. And basically, I'm just trying to cram that all into 30 seconds.
Thank you, Stephen. And I hear the point about cruelty, and thank you so much for the call. Dennis, go ahead.
Hello there. Hi, Jefferson. My question as a retired trial attorney that used to handle civil rights litigation is, why hasn't anybody sued these supposed ICE officers under the Bivens versus United States case, which makes federal actors liable in damages to citizens whose rights they have violated?
So
suing cops is very effective in straightening their act up once they find out that they're personally liable for damages awarded by a jury and they can't get away from it. They usually straighten out and fly right. I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen any?
No, I haven't seen it. And embedded within what you said, you'd have to go after them if I'm getting it right. You'd have to go after them after ICE if they went after citizens, not non-citizens. But they've gotten some people. They've done it wrong. They've certainly missed their mark sometime. Dennis is a really good point. And a friend of mine actually is a current civil rights lawyer, plaintiff's lawyer, trial lawyer, who has been known to engage in law enforcement lawsuits. That's an interesting point, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, let's keep an eye out for them and encourage it because it works really, really well.
Yeah, that's a great note.
They get really scared when they know they got to go in front of a federal judge and jury and can be on the hook for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Maybe that's why they're wearing masks. Let's go to Mike from Cleveland. You're on the air, but I think it's Cleveland, Georgia. Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, sir. On the same exact point, if I see you taking off one of my family members, and I look at the whole human race as family members, I'm going to intervene if it costs me my damn life. When these people show up masked like that, if they bring the police with them, document the police, get their numbers, get their faces on camera, build a we need a collection point where we can start putting these people's faces, because even if they didn't actually do it, they're a party to it. They're allowing it, so they're culpable. But if there's no police, then you need to take and bag tie these critters, put them in damn zip ties, and wait, make a police report. Call the police, have them come out and generate a police report, take pictures of them without their damn mask on, unmask them, and by setting up a database, we can take and file class action suits. And when these people got some skin in the game, I think they'll change their damn attitude. But until we take some kind of a proactive move to document this sort of thing, they're going to keep doing it. And what the seeds we've planted in the outer reaches of empire, whether it's extra renditions, tortures, what we've planted, we're reaping. And this is the Israeli model. We cannot allow this to go forward any longer. We got to stand up, and even at our own personal risk. I mean, I'm personally not going to let somebody drag you out of here with a mask on their face. I'm not going to allow that if it costs me my life. So if there's enough people around, then we need to take a proactive approach. And if you can't do that, at least get the pictures of folks that can be brought to court so that we can take and get a foothold on this thing instead of just slipping down the damn slope without any kind of program at all.
Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call. Thanks for being a hero. And I think that's a message we should be carrying to young people, to churches, etc. Let's see if we can jam in Valerie. You got like 10 seconds, Valerie, 20 seconds.
Okay, I don't know if anyone has mentioned this before, Jefferson, but my word is woke. If you're woke, you're awake and aware. Even the Bible admonishes us to be awake. And if we're not woke, then we're asleep and unaware, probably even unconscious.
Take woke
so
back.
I can be woke any day. I'm sorry?
I said take woke back. Thank you, Valerie. I'm going to try to get to Larry before we close off. Larry, can you get your poem done, or do we need to do it tomorrow?
You got 30 seconds. Let me do it. It's an honor to be with you, by the way, Jefferson.
It turns out we're going to have to do it tomorrow. I just got told we got 5 seconds, Larry. I know there's no five-second poem. I've spent 5 seconds saying we don't have a five-second poem. Larry, call in tomorrow. Stay on the phone.
Use what you have to get what you need.
Stay on the phone. Stay by your Philco overnight, and we'll get to you tomorrow. But do call again, please. We do want to get to it. I want to say thank you, everybody. It was a bristling show today. And lots of wonderful calls. You are the coalition of benevolently irrational, the good people doing good things for no good reason, and you are priceless. Definition of priceless, worth a lot, not for sale. And with you, democracy is possible. Be back with you another day tomorrow, 202-808-9925. We'll also have news of my dad tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. You're the best.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
If you're still tossing and turning all night and feeling edgy during the day, let me tell you about CBD from CB Distillery. Millions are turning to their CBD for relief because it works. In fact, over 90% of customers report better sleep with CBD, and I'm one of them. I use their sleep gummies. And it's not just sleep. CB Distillery offers targeted formulations for just about everything. Sleep, stress, mood and focus, pain after exercise. They even have CBD for pets. And it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. And with over 2 million satisfied customers and a 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery really is the source to trust. So if you're struggling with sleep, stress, or other health concerns and haven't found relief, make the change like I did and millions are to CBD from CB Distillery. And for a limited time, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Just visit CBDistillery.com and use the promo code Tom. That's CBDistillery.com, promo code THOM, CBDistillery.com, specifically.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After days of meetings on a Gaza ceasefire with President Trump and lawmakers, Israel's prime minister left the White House, making no announcement on finalizing an agreement. During talks with African leaders today, President Trump hinted there is progress.
We want to have a ceasefire. We want to have peace. We want to get the hostages back. And I think we're close to doing it.
Israeli Defense Forces chief also signaling they have created, quote, suitable conditions for a ceasefire deal to take hold. The death toll in Texas Hill Country now rising to 118 after Friday's flash floods. The search for 170 still missing across six counties, the majority in Kerr County, where Boys and Girls camps were located. Sheriff Larry Letha says there will be a full investigation into the warning system.
As with other significant events that our emergencies services encounter, this incident will be reviewed. You have my word.
At least three died in New Mexico after a separate storm overnight triggered historic flooding. This is ABC News.
As was